And now the game where we ask interesting people about things that don't interest them. About 10 years ago, a movie came out that wasn't just the best misunderstood misfit in high school movie ever made. It was the best misunderstood misfit in high school movie that could ever be made. It was the platonic ideal. It was called Rushmore, and it starred a young man named Jason Schwartzman in his film debut. He has followed up that masterpiece with a bunch of other films, including more collaborations with Rushmore's director, Wes Anderson. And this year, he starred in an HBO TV series called Bored to Death. He also plays a role in Wes Anderson's new movie, Fantastic Mr. Fox, coming out soon. Jason Schwartzman, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Really excited to have you. Obviously, I'm a big fan, but I wanted to talk to you first about your family, because you come from what I guess these days you could legitimately call Hollywood royalty, right?
I guess so.
Well, I mean, many people, for example, watch The Godfather because it's one of the great American movies. You watch it because there's your mom, Talia Shire.
Yes. My mom is in The Godfather, and I love that movie, and I'm able to enjoy it, and it's not awkward, actually, for me to watch that particular movie. It's actually one of my favorite movies ever made, and it's not awkward for me at all to watch it.
Okay.
Is it awkward for you to watch that film?
No, because
it's your mom.
I used it twice. I used the word awkward twice. Is that such a crime?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Can you use the word self-conscious?
I'm glad my mama wasn't in it.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but your mother's Talia Shire. Your cousins and other relatives include Francis Ford Coppola, Sofia Coppola. And we're wondering, with all these, and Nicolas Cage is a cousin, what is Thanksgiving like at your household?
Well, it's pretty normal. I mean, it's like Thanksgiving would be for anybody. It's just great food, great conversation.
I love it that you have the sad perception that the rest of us have Thanksgivings with great food and great conversation.
Growing up in the family, were you drawn to Hollywood? You wanted to do? You were in L.A., I know, growing up.
Absolutely not. Actually, growing up, I didn't think that I would be an actor. It wasn't until way into my teenage years, actually just before Rushmore, that I thought maybe this is something that I could... Well, anyway, so what happened was I was so used to being, like, I just didn't have a ton of self-confidence, I guess, in high school. And I was at a party, and what did you say?
Well, I said stop only because I wanted to say no, really? But go on.
It was awkward.
I understand. No, believe me, I believe no, you, so go on.
Would you say that it was as awkward as watching The Godfather?
It's kind of as awkward.
Okay, so wait a minute. I'm
glad you hit that one out of the park. I can't. I don't sit right there for you. I'm glad you took it.
All right. So you're at a party. You're awkward. You like girls, but the girls don't like you.
I'm at a party. I'm awkward, and this casting director comes up to me at this party. She says, "Hello, I'm a casting director. My name is Davia Nelson, and you seem like you could. Are you an actor? You seem like you could be in this movie. I really think you should come audition for it." I said, "Well, I really appreciate that. I'm honored, but it will be a waste of your time. I'm not an actor." And she said, "You would play a young, eccentric teenager who writes plays and is in love with an older woman." And I thought, me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's me. I can do that. I can do that.
Right.
So I auditioned, and I was called back, and then after a second callback, I was offered the part in the movie.
Oh, my God.
And that's how it all happened. But no one in my family ever said, now you've got to be an actor or anything. In fact, it's discouraged.
Let me ask you, that was 10 years ago, and that was your first of now many movies. Fantastic Mr. Fox, your latest movie. You're playing, if I'm not mistaken, you're playing Mr. Fox, that's George Clooney. You're playing his son. And this is a stop-motion animated film that Wes Anderson made. Did you have to prepare to play an insecure son of a fox?
No.
No, you had that.
Quick answer, no. No, I mean, I read the script, and honestly, if you took out any mention of the fact that they're animals, which would be silly, but if you did that, this movie could actually just be a feature film with actors in it. so I, to prepare for it, I read and I thought, wow, I know this guy. I know this adolescent fox that I'm about to play. And it was really fun because most animated movies, apparently, you do the acting all separate. All the actors never even meet each other most of the time. But with this movie, Wes Anderson wanted us all to do it live on location. And the movie takes place in the country, so we all actually went out and lived on a farm together as a cast. And we did the whole movie like a radio play or something. Just actors, Wes, and a sound man running around chasing us.
Wait a minute.
Literally, if there was a scene that took place under a tree, we would go under the tree, act out the scene, and if it required us to dig or something in the middle of the scene, we'd all get on our hands and knees and start digging, and Bill Murray would be digging, and like leaves would be flying in the air, and we'd be growling at each other, acting insane.
You know what might be great? There's a rental house in France where you live like a hamster. There's a big wheel, and you drink from a communal tube thing. Would have been perfect for you guys.
Yep.
Well, Jason Schwartzman, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Turns out, Mr. President, the Chinese do have a phrase for it, but you wouldn't have wanted to say it.
All right. When he was in China earlier this week, President Obama found himself looking for a Chinese equivalent of the phrase, you made your bed, now sleep in it. And he said, do you have a word for that? He said, well, it turns they do, although he wouldn't want to know what it is. We know that they have phrases like this because we talked to Jag Bala. He's the author of the book, I'm Not Hanging Noodles on Your Ears. Ooh. And he has provided us with three more interesting Asian idioms that the president might want to know about the next time that he goes to Asia. We're going to ask you about them. If you can answer two out of three questions about these idiomatic phrases correctly, you'll win our prize. Ready to do this?
No.
Okay. Even though you're not ready, you are playing on behalf of one of our listeners. Carl, who is Jason Schwartzman playing for?
Jason is playing for George Mitchell of Los Angeles.
Great.
So here's your first question about idioms in Asia. Idioms.
Okay.
All right. If in China you are working as hard as you can, are you A, building the Great Wall with only your toes? B, working with your liver and brains on the ground? Or C, chewing through the walls of your parents' house?
Mm.
These are phrases you'd say in Chinese, meaning
B.
Working very hard. B, you're going to go working with your liver and brains on the ground?
Yep.
You're right. Very good.
Wow. This got to be a confidence builder, though, getting that right so quickly. There was no hesitation.
I feel better now.
I feel pretty cocky right now.
Yeah, I'll betcha.
Next, in Japan now, Japanese idiom, if someone is showing defiance, does one say they are A, imprudently gazing at a superior in the eye, B, raising up one's kimono and showing one's buttocks, or C, seizing one's sword and decapitating everyone in the room?
A,
you're going to say that they're imprudently gazing at the superior in the eye.
Yes.
No, actually, it was, in fact, B, buttocks. It's the phrase is raising up one's kimono and showing one's buttocks.
Wow.
Buttocks play a role in Japanese idioms, according to Mr. Bala. For example, if you are rash or incautious, you are said to have light buttocks.
Wow.
This is exciting, though. It's down to this. Last question. If Obama were to whine in Japan, he'd be doing what? A, smelling up the air with verbal gas, B, vomiting the sound of weakness, or C, acting like an American.
Yikes. Well, I'm going to... I don't think it's C.
You don't think it's C, acting like an American. That would be rude.
I don't think it's acting like an American. I feel like it's either A or B, obviously.
Smelling up the air with verbal gas or vomiting the sound of weakness.
Mm. Wow. So there's a chance here that you've given me three questions, all with the answer B in them.
That is a possibility.
I'm going to go with that possibility then.
You're going to choose B, vomiting the sound of weakness?
Yes.
You're right!
No!
Vomiting the sound of weakness. is how you when one is whining in Japan. That's what they're doing.
Wow.
Carl, how did Jason Schwartzman do in our quiz?
He's a winner, Peter. He had two correct answers, so he wins our prize for George Mitchell.
Well done. Right. You did it, sir. Jason Schwartzman is a musician and an actor. You can see him in HBO's new series, Bored to Death, and the film Fantastic Mr. Fox, which opens Wednesday, November 25th. Jason Schwartzman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Jason.
Great to have you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jason. It was great to have you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye to Jason. Bye-bye.